As we welcome you back in here, the start of the fourth quarter. Cornell with a quick snap and a first down granted. It will be first and 10 for the Big Red from the Monmouth 27-yard line. Three-possession advantage for the Hawks, up 18. Brandon Hill through three quarters, 18 of 30 for 282 yards, four touchdowns. Jeff Matthews now 11 of 22 for a buck 50. Matthews got a man wide open. Touchdown, Cornell. Busted coverage by the Hawks. Lucas Shapiro wide open. 27-yard strike. So the numbers for Matthews getting a little better. His second touchdown pass of the day. Ify Isaluka and Clark Coe were the closest Monmouth defenders, but neither within about a 10-yard radius.
That was probably the first serious defensive breakdown of the day for Monmouth. Wide open receiver. And now we got a ball game again.
On for the extra point. Boomer Olsen, kick almost blocked, but the PAT is good. 34-22, just like that, 39 seconds into the fourth quarter. We've got some more football to play. We'll do a little bit more right after this quick timeout. You're listening to Monmouth University football on the Shore Sports Network.
Fans, we'd like to thank our premier sponsors and good friends helping us stay on the air on the Shore Sports Network all football season long. We'd like to thank World Subaru, Shrewsbury Avenue in Sitton Falls, Coca-Cola, McLoon's Restaurants, and all the great surf taco locations for their tremendous support throughout the season.
Touchdown throw from Jeff Matthews to Lucas Shapiro has pulled Cornell back to within 34-23. End over end kick that will bounce out of the back part of the end zone. And the touchback coming out to the 25-yard line where the MU offense can try to get back to work.
First down and 10, Monmouth.
And we came into the game really touting the balance of Monmouth. And normally they do run it very well and throw it very well. They've been okay on the ground, but really got to credit Brandon Hill. This is by far the best we've seen him sling it this season. 18 of 30, 282 through the air, four touchdowns. And the all-important statistic when it comes to Brandon up to this point in the game, no interceptions.
Yeah, Hill has looked as good as he has all year long. Even in Monmouth wins, you could credit maybe the running game for being the focal point of the offense. Today, it's been Hill the quarterback. Here's Hayes on the first down carry. Dancing his way forward out over the 30, get to the 32-yard line. 7-yard gain to make it second and three.
Petros makes the
start. Now we'll see if that rushing attack can start to take over this game. Hayes, again, slowed during the week with an injury. Now has 13 carries, over 60 yards. Asante's got 78 on the ground. Misleading, there is a giant negative play in the Monmouth team stats, which I believe was the safety.
On second down and three, Hayes looking to get himself the first down. Stopped just shy of the 35-yard line, close to the marker, but maybe a little bit short. Let's see where they put the football down. Looks as if it will, now they'll move the chains a little bit late, but they do move it. So with 13:30 to go, it is a first down for the Hawks. Elijah Phillips, Neil Sterling, the two receivers into the game. One left, one right. Tight end right is Fable. Morrow in at the fullback spot. Hayes stays in at the tailback. Six-man front for Cornell. Hayes breaks through some initial pressure, gets two to the 37-yard line. Well, you continue to see six-man fronts like that. That's Cornell basically daring you to throw the football. And you know what? Today, I'd let Hill air it out.
That's what I was just going to say, Matt. I can make the same point you just did. That plays into Monmouth's hands today. Maybe not normally. And that's an example where Brandon, who, again, first year in the offense, but when you see that guy drop into the box, you don't huddle anyway. Check to the sideline. Maybe audible out of something, because then you know you have single coverage on the outside.
Second down and eight. Play action. Hill rolling to his left, throwing. Elijah Phillips will come down with a football. Just wanted to make sure the referees were going to give it to him as he hit the turf, the ball moving just a little bit, but he had his hands on it cleanly out to the 49-yard line. That goes as a long gain and a first down reception.
I'll tell you, he is so sure-handed. Doesn't necessarily have the blazing speed, but enough to separate and make the first down catch.
Came back for his fifth year after being a defender for the entire part of his Monmouth career. Didn't want to take the pounding anymore, where he had injury problems, especially with the shoulder, and so far so good. First and 10 now for MU from their own 49. Screen set up to the left for Asante. Good head of steam of the 45. KB down inside the 40 and bounces his way down to the 37-yard line. That's a gain of 14.
And that's one of those screen plays that acts as like it's a running play. And they get KB on the outside, set his blocks up well, able to square those shoulders, get things moving. And the offense, this is what we saw in that first half. Long, clock-eating drives, keep this Cornell defense on the field. The Hawks don't huddle. Tough for the Big Red to substitute when they do that.
Five-man front this time for Cornell. Tight end right, split wide set, and again an offset eye look to the right. Asante up the middle, will break one. KB at the 30, dancing forward, gets to the 25-yard line.
KB Asante on the carry.
Was hit a couple yards over the line and then carried things Asante forward for a 12-yard pickup.
That will lead to another Monmouth.
Matt, you have to think we're getting more Asante because Hayes had that injury to work through, and they don't necessarily need him because him and KB are really one and 1A.
Yeah, very interchangeable for sure. So if one nicked up, you could certainly rely on the other. Now a fresh set of downs for Monmouth to work with. Ball at the Cornell 25-yard line. 4 minutes gone by in the fourth quarter. Pressure coming from Cornell. Here is Asante this time. Outside zone to the right. We'll get forward to the 22-yard line for a gain of about three. There is a Cornell player down, so the clock will stop here for just a second. I believe there's a Monmouth player down as well. So one on either side. I think for Monmouth, if I'm doing my number check correctly, Brandon Maxwell, number 72, the lone offensive lineman that's not walking around the huddle. And number 77, Ed Hunt, his backup, has checked into the game. Hunt, the 6'6", 295-pound junior from Odenton, Maryland. Looks like they're looking at the left knee area of Maxwell. Don't have a number for you yet on the Cornell player. But both guys basically laying right next to each other.
Yeah, they're probably separated by 2 or 3 yards. And while they're tended to, it will allow us a couple of seconds to remind you of some things that are coming up here on Monmouth University's campus in the next couple of weeks. We'd first like to remind you of basketball tickets. They are now on sale. You can get your tickets by calling the same number you did to get your football tickets, 732-263-5735, also by emailing hawktickets@monmouth.edu. And also we'd like to remind you that this Friday night will be our basketball season tip-off party. We call it Mac Madness. After the arena, not the conference, MAC, it'll be in the arena here on campus, the Multipurpose Activity Center, from 6:30 to 8 p.m. We invite you to come out, meet the men's and women's teams for a free night of fun.
Maxwell able finally to walk off under his own power. Same for Justin Harris, who is the player shaking up defensive lineman for Cornell. On second down and 8 for Monmouth. Clock back up and rolling with 10.5 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. Phillips and Sterling this time split out to the right. Morrow and Asante in the backfield. KB stretching it out. 20, 15, 10, 5, touchdown. The edge got sealed. Credit Josh Patterson, the left tackle, and then the block from Jake Morrow sealed it off. And KB scoring from 23 yards out. That should put him pretty close to 100 yards on the day. Probably now well over 100 yards after that drive. And Monmouth has blown it open 40-23 with the extra point coming up.
Great job up front. And something that we haven't really got to say all afternoon, but a tremendous job. And you said it, Patterson sealing that left side. Asante, so heady when he runs the football, able to take it in.
Spillane on for the extra point. Kick is up, and the kick is good. 41 on the board for MU. A season high in points offensively. We step out for 30 seconds. So the Hawks up by 18. You're listening to Monmouth University football on the Shore Sports Network.
Fans, we'd like to thank our friends at Aramark, who are an award-winning leader in professional services, providing food services and facilities management, for their support all football season long. Aramark is proud to be Monmouth University's official food service provider.
Lucas Santangelo on to kickoff, this time from right to left. The ball settling in the direction of number 26 with a flag down. Matt Smith is corralled at about the 18-yard line. 1-2 flags have popped Matt out. Joe Smith Johnson was down the field quickly. I believe he was held, and this return should be coming back. The scoring drive for Monmouth, 8 plays, 75 yards. Asante, 23-yard run, took up 4:07 on the clock. Hawks now lead this one 41-23. With that last drive, KB, 21 carries for 115 yards and the touchdown.
He's been the man, getting more reps today than Julian. Again, Hayes had that injury during the week. He has played today, but it's been KB who's been really good. I also, Matt, look on the field and see Joe Johnson. So he sat out those first few series, but he's played extensively since then.
Yeah, sure has, and he's played well again. Monmouth here will come out defensively. Regular 4-3 alignment. Low snap. Matthew's able to go down and pick it up. Lets it go. Looking deep down the far sideline. The catch made by Shapiro, and they will rule him inbounds at the 47-yard line. Well, nice throw that time. And
Matthews pass.
Pretty good job by Matthews
Shapiro
just to handle the snap.
First down, Cornell.
First and 10 now for the Hawks. For the Big Red, against the Hawks, I should say. Flags coming out. It'll be a procedure penalty against Cornell. That was last season?
Mm-hmm.
Going back to see Monmouth scoring-wise. 41 up on the board this year, a season high. They did score 41 last year against Rhode Island in a game here.
Remember that one? That was a no-contest game here at Kessler Field.
On first down and 15 after the 5-yard penalty. Matthews empties out his backfield. Trips right, twins left. Here comes pressure. O'Hara got there, and the ball thrown to a spot no one was there, and it will bring up a second and 15.
And I know we spoke a lot about Jeff Matthews coming into this game today, rightfully so, with the numbers that he has put up. But, Matt, I have to think from the Cornell point of view, they probably are saying, where's the guy that we've seen for the last 4 years? You know, he hasn't been bad today, but I think we expected something similar to what we saw a season ago when he sat out. And Monmouth's defense has done a really good job on him.
He's just about 50% on the day, which is well under his season average. Hawks lurking defensively. Here comes pressure. Matthews lets it go and into the Cornell sideline on an incompletion. It'll be third and 15. 9:15 to go here in the fourth quarter. 41-23 in favor of MU.
I mean, he has had some big, big games all season long. 472 last time out. Hasn't been held below 300 since the first game of the year. And today may be one of those games.
Two back set with Dillard and Gallatly in a stack formation off to the left side of Matthews. Gets the snap, steps up again. He is hurried. He will tuck it and run. And got rocked by Anthony McDonough. Was sliding down, but McDonough had already really started his approach. And the head coach of Cornell, David Archer, out arguing the call, looking for a late hit. I'm one to protect guys for sure, But I can't blame McDonough on that one. Matthews was still in the air.
He hadn't declared yet that he was going to slide, Matt, when McDonough kind of began his launch towards him.
Fourth down and seven. Matthews scrambling again. This time he's going to have the first down. Will run out of bounds. Good job that time by Matthews. Didn't have anything down the field. It broke and contained.
First down.
And Monmouth will have to try and keep Cornell off the board here. Big Red with a nice drive going. First down and 10 from the MU 39-yard line. Clock continuing to wind. We're at the 8:15 mark here in the fourth. Hawks up comfortably, however, 41-23. Matthews wants to throw. Zings it far side. Catch made by Shapiro.
Matthews pass.
About a 7-yard gainer. And it'll be second down and a long three coming up. Isaluka that time on the coverage.
Second down and four.
Did you notice the play after Matthews got popped when he picked up the first down on a scramble? His head was extra swivelly when he was running towards the sidelines. He was probably looking for number one, McDonough, who had sat out that play after laying the boom.
Well, it was smart, too. He ran out of bounds is what he did. Didn't even have to deal with it. Trips this time to the right, single receiver left. Matthews looking left. Wants a man. This ball up over the top. It's intercepted, but I believe it's going to be pass interference. It's Pat Gray running to the 30, to the 35-yard line. Gray gets forward to the 40. The intended target was Shapiro. Isaluka had the coverage. And I believe this will be pass interference against Monmouth.
It will either be pass interference or holding on Ife Isaluka. One of the two. He was hand fighting with the receiver on the outside. And then when they got beyond that 5-yard area where you've got to let go, he did not. So it's a matter of which penalty of the two it's going to be.
Prior to the pass, holding defense number 35.
That's the right call. He was grabbing him the whole time. And how about welcome to the game, Ref Crowd Mike. It's good to hear that for the first time today. Easy call for the official, though. He was right in front of the play. So the Big Red will get a first down via the Monmouth penalty.
And the drive staying alive right now for Cornell. Down inside the Monmouth 25-yard line to the Hawk 24. Matthews starting left, now rolling right, thrown behind Galatly. Brandon on the coverage. Incompletion stops the clock with 7:08 to go. And it will be second and 10. Cornell breaking the huddle. Plenty of time on the play clock. Receivers left, receivers right. Two either way. As Matthews wanting to snap. Gets it. Rolling right. Steps up in the pocket. In trouble and will get sacked. Darnell Leslie that time. First
Matthews
on the scene for MU. Make
Leslie.
It third and long. About a 4-yard loss.
Maybe the one guy, Matt, that we have seen go from being a good player to a man over the course of the season. It's not a Monmouth game yet, it seems, unless Darnell's in the backfield.
Again, an empty back set. Trips again to the right. Bostain, the tight end, a favored target, has been quiet here today for Cornell. Matthews, four-man pressure again. Hangs in the pocket, driven down by Leslie. Ball up in the air, deflected away. Clark Coe had the coverage. And the ball falling incomplete. Make it fourth down and 14 back at the Monmouth 27-yard line.
Pass intended for Chris Lance.
And I know in college, as long as you don't make contact, you don't have to turn and look for the ball. And Monmouth's fortunate there because Clark Coe never saw the football. But what he did was he read the receiver's eyes really well, Matt. And he's been another revelation this season. His improved play in that secondary has been huge to stabilize that unit.
Yeah, no doubt about it. He has played very well. He will stay in at the safety spot right now with Pat Gray. Andrew Sutton is out. Into the corner part of the end zone. The intended target, Shapiro, on fourth and long. That's overthrown. And Monmouth will take over on downs. First down and 10, MU. 6:13 to go in the fourth quarter. Hawks up 41-23.
Tell you what, Matt, after that third punt team blunder of the day, I was a little worried. But the offense and defense has done their job. And this defense holding Cornell well below their season average in points and yards. And the Monmouth offense, which has found this passing game now, looks really, really good this afternoon.
Brandon Hill will bring the offense back on first and 10. Two back set. Look for Monmouth to keep it on the ground a lot here. Asante gets the carry. Goes right and gets about
Asante,
six.
The ball carrier. G on the tackle.
Stopped at about the 33-yard line. 6 minutes to go.
Five.
On a second and four coming up now for MU.
You must know the right people. That's all I'm going
to
say.
Now, to be fair, you asked for yours to be taken off. I asked for mine to be put on.
I asked to be taken off if they weren't going to put yours on.
Well,
how do I lose in this?
Sometimes it works out every which way. Second down and a long four coming up for Monmouth. Sterling and Davenport to the left. Here's a give to Asante again. KB will have the first down. Stutters at the 40-yard line. Stiff arms a man at the 41. On his feet and pushing the pile forward. That was a man-sized run on a 14-yard
Asante
pickup for KB
carrier.
Asante.
Kind of looks as though he's not ready for this game to be over yet. And he's still seeking some contact. That was good. Finished that run really strong. He didn't go out of bounds. He stayed in bounds, and he was able to surge forward and pick up that first down.
Monmouth offense will keep the clock moving. Just what they want. 5 minutes to go here in the fourth. First down and 10 from the Hawks 47-yard line. Looks like I just got chunked in for overtime. Here is Asante. On the carry, up the middle, KB at the 40, spins forward 35, down to the 30-yard line.
KB Asante on the carry.
23-yard pickup for KB Asante, who's getting
Ryan
closer to the 200-yard mark.
Monmouth, first down!
Julian Hayes will come back into the game and give KB a bit of a blow. If you have listened to Eddie and I for the last 3-plus seasons, you know sometimes we have other conversations that take place over the broadcast. You've been listening to the dynamic of one or two of them here in the fourth quarter, and it certainly helps out when Monmouth is up 41-23.
Well, I got your. You can either break the radio gear down, or you can go do Hawkvision postgame. What do you want to do?
I'll take care of the postgame.
Yeah,
here's Hayes on the carry inside the 20. He will have a first down for Monmouth.
Julian Hayes.
That one working its way down to the 17-yard line. Gain of 13 for Hayes.
That will be another Monmouth.
Speaking of the in-between conversations, I love when we're so close to the fans here at Kessler Field that certain people I don't think realize we're on the radio sometimes. And that saying is true for rows, let's see, 1 through 5 in front of us, because they keep turning around and looking at us.
I know not of what you speak. I only know this place of Kessler Field and Mama Stadium, not Kessler Field anymore. Inside of 4 minutes to go on first and 10. Here is Hayes with a bit coming from Cornell. Hayes running down inside the 15 to the 13-yard line. 3-yard pickup. Josh, good to see you. Thanks for coming on at halftime. Josh Newman on his way down. Usually a good thing if the beat reporter wants to get himself set up for the post game, because he knows that the game well in hand.
We mentioned it earlier. Check out his story in tomorrow's Asbury Park Press. You can also get the advanced story on the Hawk's Nest blog, which Josh inherited from our good buddy Tony Graham. That'll be up later this afternoon.
Asante back into the game after a brief rest. Offset eye look with Morrow into the game, leading the way. Asante inside the 10, inside the 5, and dives forward to the 3-yard line.
Asante on the carry.
Another good gain for Asante.
G and Terrell.
I think he's going to be closer to 200 when it's all said and done than even 100 or 150.
Yeah, he's really been the guy in the second half. First half, they split carries, him and Julian Hayes. Second 30 minutes, he has been the man. And, Matt, right now, Monmouth just physically beating up Cornell on the front line.
Hawks trying to put an exclamation point on top of this one, and one more touchdown would do it. First and goal from the 3-yard line. Asante and Morrow in the backfield with Hill. KB will get a crack at it, working off the left side, working his way down. Touchdown, Monmouth. Another score for KB Asante, his second of the day. And Monmouth enjoying their homecoming festivities here with what is turning out to be a blowout win over the Big Red. Seventh rushing touchdown of the year for KB Asante. Monmouth has taken the advantage 47-23.
When this game was 17-16, really, but then at 24-16, still didn't feel like MU was in full control. Well, that's a long time ago, because the Hawks right now, Matt, are playing very well. The offense today, as good as you could hope for.
Extra point up and good.
Extra point is good. 205
Make it
left
now
in the fourth quarter.
48-23. 2:05 to go in the fourth quarter. We're back in 30 seconds with more Hawks football on the Shore Sports Network. MU with 48 points on the scoreboard. 2:05 to go in the fourth quarter. Big blowout win here at homecoming. You've got to go pretty far back, the last 4 years to be exact, to find the time that Monmouth was able to win a homecoming game. They dropped the last four. That streak will be snapped today. Fumbled kickoff by Smith in the backfield, who then had to go down and pick up the football and have a knee go down. Scoring drive for Monmouth. Seven plays, 73 yards, 4:08 off the clock. KB Asante, 3-yard touchdown run. And as we said, KB getting closer to 200 than 100. He's at 171 on the day.
I'll tell you what, I know we're kind of looking up some records right now and trying to find out when the last time the Monmouth offense put up these kind of numbers. Even more than the 48 points, excuse me, how about the 500 yards of total offense that the Hawks have put up today? 308 through the air, 204 on the ground.
James Few has come in at the quarterback spot to take over for Jeff Matthews, whose day is done. The handoff here going to number four, Connor Armstrong.
You said Matthews done. Look at these numbers for the All-American candidate. 13 of 29, 223, by far his worst numbers of the year. Two scores, one interception. This is for an offense that averages almost 360 yards a game passing the football.
Armstrong the carrier.
Armstrong again on the carry. Small game.
Harry makes the stop.
And with just 70 seconds left, Monmouth closing out a big victory. Certainly nice any time you can win in front of a large crowd on homecoming. And the Hawks able to supply a lot of fireworks today and excitement for their home folks. Here is Few looking to let it fly. Has a target open. That is number 88,
James
Matt Donath.
Pass is complete to Matt Donath for a Cornell first down.
Under a minute to go here. And I think, Matt, we can say, with the exception of one area, without the punt team today, this would be as close to a complete perfect victory as Monmouth has had in a while.
Few rolling off the left side, and he is sacked. On the backside, Jack Eisenstadt, number 67, able to get him.
Few is sacked by Jack.
And Cornell
Eisenstadt
does not have to snap the football again. Let's see if they try and get one more play. They don't have to, as the play clock
second
has been
18.
Shut down.
How about this effort today by the Hawks? Tremendous both offensively and defensively. And I think, Matt, Cornell has just put the white flag up.
Couldn't agree more. This game is over. Monmouth wins on homecoming for the ninth time in their school history. They improve the record to 9-12 overall. And again, break out of a four-game losing streak on this day in convincing fashion. 48-23, the final score. MU wins this one. over the Big Red of Cornell and get back to the 500 mark at 4-4. We'll step out, take a two-minute timeout. We're back right after this quick pause on the Shore Sports Network.
Have a great weekend, everyone. We thank you.
Well, a high for the season, 48 points on the board for Monmouth, not coming quite close enough to break the all-time mark set back in 2005 when they put up 65 points against the Explorers of LaSalle. But all in all, a tremendous day for Monmouth. Let's take a quick peek first at our final stats. We'll also do player of the game, drive of the game, look ahead, and the Coke Zero out-of-town scoreboard. First downs in pretty much every offensive category today, well in favor of Monmouth. 28 first downs to 17 for Cornell. Total plays, 78 for MU for 512 yards, 308 on through the air, and 204 on the ground. 290 total for Cornell on 52 plays. The run-pass split, 52 on the ground, 238 through the air. MU 9 of 14 on third down. Cornell just 4 of 11. MU certainly dominated in terms of time of possession, 37 minutes to just about 23 minutes overall. Turnovers a big factor in this game today as well. A couple of fumbles for Cornell that were recovered by Monmouth, plus an interception by Jeff Matthews. Individually, it was a day that Brandon Hill outplayed his quarterback counterpart. Hill, 20 of 32 for 308 yards. He threw four touchdowns and no interceptions on the day. Matthews, 13 of 29 for 223, two scores, one pick. He was sacked three times. James Few also sacked in this game in his limited duty. So all in all, the Monmouth defense with four sacks on the day. Lamar Davenport had a big day today. Four catches to lead the Monmouth receiving corps for 102 yards and a touchdown. Neil Sterling, 4 for 57. He had a score. Mike McLafferty, 3 for 49. He also had a score. Great job of mixing the football around today by Hill and the Monmouth offense. The rushing attack, KB Asante, 26 carries, 171 yards, two touchdowns for him, a average of 6.6 per carry. Julian Hayes, 17 for 86, an average of just over 5 per carry. A big day today for Monmouth. Again, offensively, the Hawks looking dominant. Defensively, looking very solid as well, even despite giving up 23 points. Got to factor in that the special teams today did not help MU in terms of giving Cornell some good field position in which to work with. 16 of those points coming all off of kind of bad plays in the second quarter by the Hawks before finally in the fourth Cornell got themselves an old-fashioned type of touchdown with Jeff Matthews throwing his second score of the day. We'll come back. We'll do our scoring summary, player of the game, drive of the game, and a look at the Coke Zero out-of-town scoreboard. Monmouth, a winner here today on homecoming day in West Long Branch, 48-23. We're back in 60 seconds on the Shore Sports Network. We are back here on the Shore Sports Network, 1160, 1310 a.m. ShoreSportsNetwork.com, today GoMUHawks.com, supplying the visual footage. Monmouth 48-23 winners today over the Big Red of Cornell. Eddie, I say we start with our player of the game presented by McClune's Restaurant. Visit McClune's.com for information on all of their great locations. I'll let you do this one, though I think it's pretty easy to say who that will be.
Well, I was going to pick you.
Well, again, I think it's pretty easy to say, but I'll let you pick it.
And I think Matt and I are in one mind here. It has to be junior quarterback Brandon Hill, who was good really from the start of this one and carried it throughout much of the second half. Didn't have to do too much after halftime because at that point the damage had been done. Brandon goes 20 of 32. He throws for 308 yards, four touchdowns, the big number, zero interceptions for Brandon Hill. He was efficient. He was good helping this offense move at will against Cornell, leading them to over 500 yards of total offense. But Brandon Hill, our player of the game, presented by McClune's Restaurants.
And a big win today for the Hawks. They take it by 25 points over Cornell to even their record now at 4-4. And importantly, on the bye week, which means our next upcoming game will be the first weekend of November when MU starts off a stretch against all NEC teams obviously that Monmouth very familiar with. They will started with the gate against the Pioneers of Sacred Heart, who are having a pretty good season so far. That is our next contest. Again, no football next Saturday. And I think, Eddie, one of the things here is that upcoming game is presented by Coach USA, driven with pride, is that Mama goes into their bye week feeling so positive about themselves. They can rest. They can relax. They can kind of get back on track and then look to close out the last four games with kind of a good, solid stretch here, all winnable football games.
They are winnable. And, Matt, the bye comes at a great time with four games left. Now, if you've got some nicks and some pains and some nagging injuries, it's a good time to get some rest, and then you go into four games that you're used to playing. Three of them are on the road, however. They've got to go to Sacred Heart. Then they have to go to Wagner and Bryant before finishing up on November 23rd back here at home against Duquesne. But the bye couldn't have come at a better time, and they couldn't be in a better place going into that bye.
Let's take a look at our drive of the game. A lot to pick one from in this particular category. It's presented by World Subaru, located on Shrewsbury Avenue in Tinton Falls, worldsubaru.com. They think the world of their customer. For me, I'm going to go with the opening score of the third quarter. Mammoth able to turn a turnover into points, and I think if anything, it just kind of settled the team down after such an awful second quarter in which Cornell had cut it to 17-16 at the break, and Brandon Hill got himself on track. A touchdown pass to Lamar Davenport from 16 yards out. Wasn't the longest scoring drive of the day for Mammoth. Just four plays, 34 yards, took a minute 39 off the clock. But I think what it did is just that. It kind of said to the team, okay, second quarter's over. We can reestablish things and now move forward.
And if you remember, that drive was started by a turnover caused by the Mammoth kick return team, or rather kickoff team. Cornell was going to receive the second half kickoff. They fumbled it. Mammoth got it. And that resulting touchdown not only is the drive of the game that Matt gave you, presented by World Subaru, but it really, like you said, Matt, gave the team confidence to know, guys, we played really well in the first half. That's who we are, not that team that let Cornell back in the game.
Yeah, and if you look at the Mammoth scoring drives today, 8 plays, 72 yards, 12 plays, 80 yards, 10 plays, 71 yards. The one we just mentioned, 4 for 34, 8 plays for 82 yards, 6 for 33, 8 for 75, and 7 for 73. All, for the most part, long, time-consuming type drives where Mammoth was able to dictate time of possession, which was a big factor in this football game, trying to keep Cornell and Jeff Matthews off of the field. It's really been the recipe for when Mammoth has had success. A 10 to 12 play drive for Mammoth is something that they can pretty much do when the offense is working very well.
Right, and they were doing it in the first half. It was the majority on the arm of Brandon Hill. The running game came alive in the second half. But what that does is not only allows you to keep possession and score points, but that Mammoth defense was able to be on the sideline. They were able to rest. So when they did have to face Jeff Matthews, they were really good. And if anything, you can't pick a unit as a player of the game, and Brandon definitely deserved it. But holding Jeff Matthews, who puts up these video game-like numbers every week, to these rather pedestrian statistics, huge development in this game.
Let's take one more quick timeout. We'll make it a 60-second spot. When we come back, we'll take you around the country with as many scores as we can throw your way before we sign off here. Mammoth, 48-23 winners over Cornell. We're back in 60 seconds with our Coke Zero out-of-town scoreboard, and we'll set the schedule for you for the remaining part of the season here on the Shore Sports Network. As we welcome you back here from Kessler Field at Mammoth Stadium, the Hawks a homecoming win in front of, we don't see the official attendance yet, but somewhere in the neighborhood of, I would say, about 6,000 on the day as the bleachers filled up pretty good. And obviously a lot of people standing around the fence and everyone really enjoying the activities of the day. Time to take a look at our Coke Zero out-of-town scoreboard. Let's start it in the top 25. Here's some finals that have come in already. Tennessee with an upset win over number 11 South Carolina, 23-21. Texas Tech comes back to beat West Virginia on the road. The Red Raiders now 7-0 on the year, 37-27. They take that game again down in Morgantown. Oklahoma State, they're 5-1. They beat TCU today 24-10. Vandy with a surprising win over number 15 Georgia, 31-27. Games in progress, fourth quarter action, Missouri 36, Florida 17. Also now in the second quarter, Central Michigan 14, Northern Illinois 7 up on the board. Ohio State trailing Iowa midway through the first quarter, 7-0. Kansas 7, Oklahoma nothing. Texas A&M leads Auburn by a score of 7-0. UCLA and Stanford midway through the first quarter, no score in that contest. Game still yet to kick off later on tonight and into the evening hours. Number 20, Washington will visit Arizona State. Top-ranked Alabama, home for Arkansas. Number 12, Baylor, looking to go to 6-0 rather on the season. They'll be home for Iowa State. LSU on the road tonight at Ole Miss. Huge game in the ACC. Number 3, Clemson, welcoming in number 5, Florida State. Death Valley should be rocking tonight down in South Carolina. Illinois welcoming in number 25, Wisconsin. Also this evening, Washington State will try and trip up number 2, Oregon. And number 17, Fresno State, tries to go to 6-0 on the year when they play host to UNLV. From the Ivy League today, in addition to Mama's win over Cornell, in the second quarter, it is Harvard leading Lafayette by a score of 7-0. Also in the second, also now in the third quarter, Fordham on top of Yale, 24-10. And kicking off later tonight, Princeton will square off against Brown. Games from the Northeast Conference. We'll see most of these teams for the second part of the schedule. Sacred Heart with a high-scoring attack against Bryant. Pioneers go to 6-1. They beat the Bulldogs 56-28. Duquesne and Robert Morris getting set to kick off that game out in Moon Township, a 6 o'clock start. Also from the Big South, we should say 2-3 Colorado against 7-0 Charleston Southern, 22-10 that score. And Presbyterian leading VMI 21-7. Liberty on top of Coastal Carolina by a score of 7-0. That is our out-of-town scoreboard. A quick look around the top 25 and the FCS levels as well, brought to you by Coca-Cola Zero. Eddie, all in favor of a homecoming win today for Monmouth. And again, if you're a Hawk fan, you were really interested to see, I think, how this team would rebound off of that dismal performance a week ago to St. Francis, Pennsylvania. Well, a lot of questions were asked and answered today, and MU wins it 48-23.
And I would even take that thought one step further. Team came out on fire, Matt. 17-0, the Hawks were flying, and then Cornell came back into the game. We had a 17-16 game at the half. The real metal on this team was shown after halftime when they ultimately rode this to a blowout win in front of a great homecoming crowd. Not much more we could ask for as Monmouth broadcasters and alums.
Yeah, certainly a good day all in all. Again, no show on Tuesday night. The coach's show will take a week off as Monmouth will be on the bye. We're back on the air talking Hawks football the last Tuesday of October before MU returns to the gridiron on the 2nd of November up in Fairfield, Connecticut against Sacred Heart. For Ray Malaspina, back in the studios, Eddie Iacopitney, my partner here. Monmouth wins this one 48-23. Matt Harmon saying so long from Kessler Field at Mama Stadium, a good homecoming for MU.